Life has a way of throwing unforeseen events and new opportunities our way. At Glover Orndorff and Flanagan Wealth Management, they are dedicated to putting your interests first with a truly personalized approach. They are there to bring confidence to your investment planning choices. Whether you need income production for retirement, 401k guidance, long-term investments, or other financial planning needs, they'll focus on the establishment of a plan tailored to your life's priorities. For more information, call Bill Orndorff, partner with Glover Orndorff and Flanagan Wealth Management today at 321-344-1202. 321-344-1202. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network, LLC. Member SIPC. Glover, Orndorff and Flanagan, LLC is a separate entity from Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network.
Sicario's Gun Shop. Buy, sell, or trade firearms. Purchase Class 3 NFA items, custom builds, gunsmithing, and cleaning. Liberty Gun Safes. Sicario's Gun Shop fully supports our military and law enforcement. Visit online at SicariosGunShop.com or in person at 5325 North Wickham Road, Suite 105 in Melbourne, Florida.
Sicarios, where you come first for your second.
You heard the man. Let's go. We are locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. This is the program all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. And I am Royce, your host. And yes, I am still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and a faint yet wildly tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people. Hops number 9, you'd better believe it. We got a lot to talk about today, as always. I want to give you a little heads up first, though. Got a couple of great guests coming up. They've been on the program before, especially back when I was live on WMMB and iHeartRadio. The first one is Mr. Dale Comstock, the American badass himself. He's been on my program probably 3 or 4 times now, and it's always a great time. You don't want to miss out. I tell you what, he's always got a lot of good things to say, and he is literally the consummate American badass. You can read that in his book, American Badass. Also, Mr. Tony Cujo Kuzer. I tell you what, Cujo is top-notch people. He is a high-speed combat medic. They used to implant him with... Well, I'm not going to say exactly which teams, but I think you could probably figure it out all by yourself. These are high-speed teams that go in quickly and get out, and they would put him in those teams. He wasn't just a medic. He got the name Cujo from some serious spec ops badasses themselves. They're the ones that gave him that nickname, not himself. So you can imagine the ferocity the man fought with alongside these spec ops warriors that he went along with. So you don't want to miss this guy. I've been talking about all of the bad things that could assail society in America very quickly, and I've repeatedly talked about having trauma kits and knowing trauma care, how to treat wounds, how to treat all kinds of things, broken bones, everything. Cujo is going to bring his insight into that. Also, his insight into many other things along those lines. So you don't want to miss out on Comstock and Cujo. Back-to-back episodes, I think I can work that out. But if not, they're going to be on quickly enough, I assure you. Okay, I got a phone call from my good friend and SEAL Team 5 commander, Mr. excuse me, Amir Pishdad. Sorry, I just aspirated. I got a little piece of breakfast stuck in my throat or something. And Amir Pishdad had contacted me and said, what is this crap going on with this judge? Basically says that this illegal immigrant who's in our country illegally and violating our laws can just go buy a gun and carry a gun without it, without going through the same hoops that we Americans have to go through. And so, Amir, this one's for you, brother. I really appreciate you and your service to the United States in the United States Navy. And so, yes, this is going to be your program, brother man. I had you in mind the whole time I was putting it together. This, many of you have heard about this already. This Obama appointed judge has basically stated that, well, the Second Amendment covers this illegal alien's right, so-called, to keep and bear arms simply because he's in this country. I've got a lot to say about that. The defendant was not just owning a gun, because she first from the bench stated, well, he has the right to own a gun too. Well, he was carrying a gun too. Now, he said it was for his protection and he did not have a record, anything like that. But there's a lot to unpack in all of this. He did not have a FOID card, so he couldn't purchase a gun. This happened in Chicago, by the way. And there's a lot about Chicago that will be in this episode. But he did not have a FOID card. He didn't have a carry permit. And the implications here are a bit concerning, to say the least. And matter of fact, there's good and bad implications in this ruling. And I'm going to bring both of those out. It's not because I think FOID cards and carry permits are constitutional. I don't, obviously. You know me by now. But there are other reasons that I'm going to reveal in this that bring out, well, some concerns. Here's the article by Bill Galluccio. Federal judge rules illegal immigrants can own guns under the Second Amendment. A federal judge ruled that the Second Amendment applies to illegal immigrants. U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman, an Obama appointee, as I said, stated that a federal law that makes it unlawful for undocumented individuals. Stop with the semantics. He's here illegally. He illegally invaded our country. He was not invited. He did not come through our proper channels. He did not come through in the ways that we have prescribed people to become citizens. He's here illegally. That makes him a criminal and literally, at the same time, a fugitive from justice. Let's go ahead and put all the cards out where they need to be. Said that a federal law makes it unlawful for undocumented individuals to own a gun is unconstitutional. The case revolved around the June 2020 arrest of Heriberto Carbajal Flores in Chicago for being an illegal immigrant, in other words, an illegal invader, in possession of a handgun. Carbajal Flores argued that he had the gun for self-defense and had never been convicted of a crime. Well, guess what, Mr. Carbajal Flores? Most Americans living in the communist-occupied territories can say the same thing, but yet they're being arrested and jailed constantly for simply owning a gun that their grandfather or their father willed to them, and they didn't get it registered. No, they had it for self-defense, and they'd never been convicted for a crime, but yet they're being arrested. Again, there are good and bad implications in this ruling. I continue. Coleman noted that there is no historical context to justify restricting the rights of Carbajal Flores or other people in the country illegally to own a gun. Well, it's hard to argue a Bruin application. Yeah, I understand that, but they're here illegally. And if we all agree that we don't want criminals owning firearms, for all intents and purposes, Mr. Carbajal Flores was and still is a criminal. Coleman wrote in her decision, Carbajal Flores has never been convicted of a felony, a violent crime, or a crime involving the use of a weapon. Well, maybe if you'd rounded him up and put him back across the border like you should have, we wouldn't even be here right now. And again, he was in the country illegally. That makes him a criminal right off the bat, whether he's been arrested or not. He is a criminal. He committed crimes. He also ducked and dodged our Border Patrol and our ICE agents and things like that. So he knew he was here illegally, knew he did not have the same rights as Americans. Not only that, how did he acquire the gun? I mean, definitely was not from a licensed dealer in Chicago, or he would have had to go through a background check. Well, if they'd have run a background check, he wouldn't have appeared in the background check because they don't know about him. NICS does not have a list of all illegal aliens to cross-check references against. Not only that, he lived in Chicago. Did he possess a FOID card, a firearm owner identification card? Did he? No, of course not. But all American citizens living in Chicago who wish to be armed have to have a FOID card. So there's another law he has broken. Now, frankly, I think every law-abiding gun owner in Chicago should use this case as a lever and as a catalyst for going after the state of Illinois for forcing them to jump through hoops when these hoops were basically nullified by this judge's decision. Yeah, let that sink in. That's right. And he obviously purchased it illegally in a private sale, more than likely from a friend or even some criminal on the street who had stolen the gun. I can't help but wonder, did they run a background check on the gun to see if it had been stolen? Did they run the serial numbers? You know, according to Illinois law, if you want to sell one of your firearms as a private citizen to another citizen in Illinois, you first have to make sure that the buyer meets certain requirements. And I did a thorough study on all the Illinois laws. It doesn't matter if you're buying it from a gun store or from an individual, all buyers in the state have to be 18 years of age in order to purchase long guns, and they have to be 21 for handguns and handgun ammunition. So they have to meet age requirements, but it's also a requirement for a buyer to have a FOID card even in a private sale. So before you're allowed to transfer a firearm to the buyer, you first have to contact the Department of State Police in Illinois with the FOID card number to check if the sale or transfers is actually legal or not. Now, I doubt the person that sold the defendant the gun he had. I dare say they probably did not follow any of the steps at all in so doing. Not only that, if they have to, there's a list of things that the person has to, some criteria that a buyer has to meet, whether from a private individual or from a licensed dealer. And number 7 down the list is people who are prohibited, parties who are unlawfully present in the United States. Well, not only that, on the 4473 form, one of the questions is, are you here in the United States illegally? And if you answer yes, well, we at point of sale are required to refuse the sale. Not only that, at number 9, people in the United States on a non-immigrant class visa. No, you can't do it either. Or if you're a fugitive from justice, which all illegal aliens essentially are. Now, the New York Post had a little something to say about this, too. They said, while Coleman previously denied Carbajal Flores' motion to dismiss the charges, he later asked the court to reconsider following the Supreme Court's decision in Bruin, which ruled that New York's law against carrying a pistol in public violated a constitutional right, as well as several smaller court decisions that considered whether people convicted of nonviolent crimes can be prohibited from having firearms. Well, well, well. So he is applying a Bruin challenge. Only problem with that is, Mr. Carbajal Flores, you are not a citizen of this country. This portion I pulled up from the New York Post, it said also, Coleman then concluded that Carbajal Flores' immigration status was not cause to deny him Second Amendment's rights. Okay, he didn't have an immigration status. His status is criminal, illegal, alien. Just glad to clear that up for you. So Coleman then concluded that Carbajal Flores' immigration status was not cause to deny him Second Amendment rights, noting the plain text of the Constitution presumptively protects firearms possession by undocumented persons. That is quite a presumption there, Judge Coleman, because the term the people in the Second Amendment is very definitively speaking of citizens of this country. That's a term applied to citizens, not illegal aliens, not illegal invaders. When the British invaded us again in 1812, did they have citizenship? No. They were unlawful invaders. They violated law, and they came to us in a pretext of war. I'm not saying Mr. Flores was coming here in a pretext of war. Anything could happen, though. But still, the fact remains. You don't get to come into our country illegally and claim the protections afforded citizens under the Constitution. It also said, even in the present case, Carbajal Flores contends that he received and used the handgun solely for self-protection and protection of property during a time of documented civil unrest in the spring of 2020. But also, I kind of foresee this ruling blowing up against New York City, New Jersey, California, and all the other communist-occupied territories, because all the people in those states want the same thing, especially with all the unrest that is now, right now, there. And instead, you've got Governor Hochul in the New York State Legislature basically trying to pass laws in a temper tantrum reaction against the Bruin decision. But here, this judge is using this decision, rendering this decision. How many of you have heard a peep from any of the Democrats? A lot of American citizens want the same right. They've never been convicted of a felony. They've never been convicted or arrested for a violent crime or a crime involving the use of a weapon, much like Mr. Carbajal Flores. But yet, this illegal immigrant now seems to enjoy more rights than the citizenry. Tell me how that works. Also, Judge Coleman said, additionally, pretrial service has confirmed that Carbajal Flores has consistently adhered to and fulfilled all the stipulated conditions of his release, is gainfully employed, and has no new arrests or outstanding warrants. You sure about the outstanding warrant thing? Because he's here illegally. She added, the non-citizen possession statute violates the Second Amendment as applied to Carbajal Flores. Well, what about as applied to all the good people of New York, New Jersey, California, etc.? It says, thus, this court grants Carbajal Flores' motion to dismiss. Well, let me ask you a few questions in association with this. Does this now mandate a change to the 4473 form, the federal form that says, are you a person who is here illegally in the United States? Does this now also mean that FOID cards are irrelevant for all Illinoisans because this man had no FOID card? Does that mean the rest of the people in Chicago can now say, well, screw the FOID card, we don't need it. You gave this illegal alien Second Amendment protection, you better give it to us too. Well, maybe they should. I'll tell you what it definitely means is that is your host was right about one thing in particular. Now, let me just throw something by you here. What if that had been a white Republican? You think she'd be so gracious? That was a rhetorical question, of course. Because this was a very liberal Obama appointee making this ruling, and she deliberately nullified with her ruling. One, federal law for sure, and at least four Illinois state laws with this ruling. That means she went out of her way to see to it that this man was set free. Why? Why was such care and attention and the application of a Bruin decision, which I guarantee you this lady did not like, why is that now all of a sudden being championed by a Democrat communist on the bench? Ask yourself why. I can only wonder if his gun was handed back to him as he left the courthouse. You know, it seems like she is going to great lengths to take care of this illegal alien. And I can't help but, you know, think the answer to my why question just might be that she's probably making sure he's able to vote in November. Yeah, that's right. I said it. I said it right here. I mean, is it any wonder they're flooding our country with illegal aliens and trying to replace their voter base that they're losing in droves? It seems that the Democrat communists want to see to it that the illegals are able to arm themselves without going through all the steps that other American citizens do. So to me, it seems that making it easy for illegal immigrants to keep and bear arms might be one of their goals here. Well, how many times have I told you that they wish to strip not all citizens, but only conservatives of their right to keep and bear arms, but have no problem now, it seems, arming illegals? I did say recently that don't be surprised if there is suddenly a pathway made, and I wish I had said it on the program because then I'd have recorded proof that I said it. Don't be surprised if they make it an easy path, just like they're trying to make an easy pathway to citizenship. Don't be surprised if they make them have an easy pathway to keeping and bearing arms. Now, why would they do that? Like I've told you before, they want to disarm conservatives. They don't want to disarm anybody else. They want their people that they will use as their useful idiots and who are indebted to them and the Democrat Communist Party, they want them to have guns, but not you and I. I've told you this before. They only want to disarm conservatives, but certainly not all the Democrat Communist voting base and all the useful idiots therein. And like again, why? Why are you not hearing a peep from the Democrats on this? I mean, again, had this been a white Republican, they'd be wanting to throw the book at him and excoriate him, parade him before the entire country as a criminal, and take his guns from his hands and make his life miserable. Well, maybe it is because they don't mind illegals having unfettered access to the keeping and bearing of firearms. Now, compare that to the fact that every single Democrat in Congress recently voted to be able to keep veterans from owning guns for the slightest reasons, including little things like using a fiduciary to manage their finances. That was the catalyst they were trying to use to strip veterans of their right, saying they were mentally unstable. Fortunately, that did not go through. That was taken from the recent bill that was signed or that was passed through the House and Senate. Well, think also what this means for all the terrorists who are crossing our borders, who now have essentially a get-out-of-jail-free card created by this precedent if they ever get caught with a firearm. Now, I stated on this program numerous times that the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental right that I believe all men possess, regardless of where they live on this globe. But if we're no longer going to differentiate between citizens and illegal criminal aliens, that's going to create some major problems for us. As for Mr. Carbajal Flores, I hope the handgun he was carrying wasn't a Glock. And I'll explain what I mean when we come back after a brief commercial break. Don't go anywhere. The listener retention squads are all on standby. Be right back with more Shooting Straight.
Hey guys, let me tell you what, Counter-Strike Tactical is the absolute best little gun store in Melbourne and proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Come visit us at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and see the custom AR built by Anthony Vallejo, owner and combat veteran, plus AK-47s, handguns, ammo, tactical rifle accessories, and much more. So stop in and see us, 1008 Strawbridge Avenue, and visit the best little gun store in Melbourne. Or give us a call, 321-499-4949. Tell Anthony that Roy sent you. We can't wait to see you.
As many of you know, I, your host, am a firearms instructor, and I run all of my firearms training business through shootingclasses.com because it simply doesn't make sense to try to do it all myself. With automated roster creation when students sign up, payment processing, and automated emailing to your students reminding them of the class date and time, it simply doesn't make sense to try to do all of that by yourself. Get signed up with shootingclasses.com today and take a big load off yourself. Shootingclasses.com.
WJS Guns in North Merritt Island is where you need to go for your firearms, ammunition, accessories, holsters, body armor, fishing tackle, and much more. WJS Guns also offers blue label pricing for law enforcement officers on multiple firearms brands. And above all, WJS Guns offers friendly, exceptional service to everyone, especially to us ladies and first-time gun buyers. For more information, check them out at WJSGuns.com and always tell them Roy sent you.
Welcome back to the program. Many thanks to the commercial sponsors of the program and also all of you private sponsors out there who sponsor with a monthly donation to the keeping and going of this program. Thank you all. That means so much to me, and it keeps me going sometimes, I'll tell you that. Now, let me raise a hypothetical going into this next story. If you buy a vehicle, okay, and you modify that vehicle against manufacturer standards and recommendations, and you make that vehicle go twice as fast as it was intended to go, is the vehicle manufacturer responsible if you harm or kill innocent people with that vehicle that you modified against manufacturer design recommendations and standards? Well, duh, of course not. Of course, the manufacturer is not responsible. You are. You bought a piece of machinery and you modified it. You did things that the manufacturer said plainly you were not to do. You're not to make any changes in. And there's a new law that Chicago recently passed, and they're using it to go after Glock. They're trying to sue Glock, the manufacturer, because they feel that, well, we can't do it with a federal lawsuit. We'll do it with a state lawsuit. Yeah, because the PLCAA says we can't sue them federally, but we'll do it on the state level. No, you're not allowed to do that either. You're an idiot. And all of you bringing the lawsuit are a bunch of braying jackasses. Here's a story by Greg Bishop. The city of Chicago is using a recently enacted state law to sue a firearms manufacturer. Chicago is using a recently enacted illegal law to treasonously assault the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Glad I could clear that up for you, Mr. Bishop. Last year, Governor J.B. Prixter signed a law that allows lawsuits against the firearms industry for a variety of reasons. Well, the problem with that is, Mr. Prixter, you have zero authority to sign laws that run counter to the Constitution and the PLCAA. You're welcome. Prixter said, "We hold opioid manufacturers accountable. We hold vaping companies accountable. We hold predatory lenders accountable. Gun manufacturers should not be able to hide from the law, and now they won't be able to." Well, they're not hiding from you, Prixter. My goodness, you are such a morbidly obese Bolshevik. I tell you what, and you are such a communist, you really are. By the way, opioids, that was my misspelling I was reading there, opioids and vapes are not necessary to the security of a free state like firearms are, Mr. Prixter. That's right. We can do without opioids. We can. We can do without vapes, because neither of those is necessary for the citizenry to be able to defend themselves against their own government if necessary. So the article continues, separate federal and state level lawsuits are pending challenging the law. Good. That law needs to be challenged. It needs to be stripped. It needs to be done away with, repealed, whatever you want to say. It needs to find its place in the dustbin of history. Tuesday, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, have you ever seen such a flaming Bolshevik? He embodies the definition of a communist agitator. He really does. Mr. Johnson announced his administration was using the law to sue firearms manufacturer Glock. I guess when you refuse to crack down on the lawless people in your city, I guess it's because birds of a feather flock together. That's why you're not cracking down on them and you're lawless too. Mm-hmm. And you want to try to deceive the citizenry into believing you actually care about them and want to do something about the violent crime that you and your policies engendered. Yeah, I guess this is your only route. Johnson said the city of Chicago is encountering a deadly new frontier in the gun violence plaguing our communities because of the increase of fully automatic Glocks on our streets. No, it's the increase of criminals on your streets, scumbag. Because if there wasn't an increase of criminals on your streets, there would not be an increase of illegal weapons on your streets, Mr. Johnson. He said selling firearms that can so easily be converted into automatic weapons makes heinous acts even more deadly. So we are doing everything we can in the collaboration with others committed to ending gun violence to hold Glock accountable for putting profits over public safety. They did? How so? You see, like the car manufacturer, they have certain recommendations and standards. I am a certified Glock armorer, by the way, and there are certain things that I am not allowed to do to Glock pistols. If someone comes into my shop, well, it's not my shop, the people I work for, if someone comes into the place where I work and says, hey, I've got this new trigger from ABC Trigger Company, I want you to put it in my Glock. I am bound to refuse by the agreement that I have with Glock by receiving the certification they gave me as a certified armorer. I cannot put any non-Glock parts in Glocks. That especially includes these little giggle switches that China has been flooding America with, especially places like China where their fellow communists hold power. If they brought me one of those, first of all, I would keep it and throw it away. I'd smash it with a hammer and say, you're not using this, because obviously you have maybe bad intentions. I don't know. But if you I can't put something in a Glock that is not made by Glock for Glock. Okay, that's the best way to narrow it all down. And if I do assist somebody in making their Glock shoot, quote unquote, better, faster, or turn it into a machine gun, they will strip me of my certification and may even recommend me for criminal prosecution if I do something that causes harm to someone else. And see, and that would be my fault. If I modified their machines to go faster than they're intended, Glock says, no, you cannot do that. Well, that's essentially what's happening here. These little hellions, these products of the American school system, are getting their hands on illegal Glock switches brought into our country by criminal aliens like Chinese foreign operatives across our border. They're smuggled in various ways, and they are targeted towards the street gangs and the street thugs in America. Now, gee, why would they be doing that, I wonder? But you want to hold Glock accountable? How about you demand sanctions against China instead? They're the ones flooding American streets with these switches, not Glock. It is not incumbent upon Glock to make their guns criminal proof. Okay, if they have, Oh, goodness. I got too many thoughts in my head banging around right now. If they want to make their guns able to be serviced properly and easily, the design they have right now could not be better. That's why I love Glock pistols. They are simplicity perfected. They really are. You buy one model Glock, it's just like every other model Glock, maybe not the same size, maybe not the same caliber, but if you can field strip one Glock, you can field strip all Glocks. I don't know any other manufacturer out there that can make such a claim. These things were marketed to police and military first before the civilian market. So how is it you think Glock is responsible for what these criminals are doing to their guns? Yeah. The article continues, Glock did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Good, I'm glad they didn't, because stupidity is often its own rebuttal, as is the case here with you guys belching out your stupidity about Glock. In a federal court last year, the National Shooting Sports Foundation sued over the firearms industry liability law. The lawsuit is still pending. So they're suing. The NSSF is suing Chicago, suing Illinois over this illegal law. Separately, in Madison County, Piazza Armory sued. That case also involves a challenge to the state law that limits where people can sue a state. A Madison County judge recently found limiting where people can sue the state is unconstitutional. Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that all the communists there in government positions and all the mayors, they passed a law shielding themselves from liability lawsuits? Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, boys. That's right. Senate Minority Leader John Curran, a Republican from Downers Grove, Illinois, said the law goes too far. He said that's another broad overreach that is really questionable constitutionally and that was brought up and talked about extensively during debate. This case is really interesting because this case could actually strike down two of the governor's initiatives from last session because the underlying case is the suit challenging the civil liability for firearms manufacturers. Well. So here's what I think. I think this suit is being brought for several possible reasons. One, they may be trying to shake down Glock for contributions to the Democrat Communist Party, you know, like Bill Clinton did with Smith & Wesson way back when under his presidency. They may want to even co-opt Glock as the primary government supplier of arms and probably would even get in there and start subsidizing things for them if Glock actually knelt and kissed the ring. You know, they would still have Glock-produced pistols for the government, but they would restrict them from the public. That might be what this one of the issues at play here is. They might be doing that. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's what these people are good at. They're shakedown artists. Secondly, they're doing this to treasonously assail the industry in an attempt to dry up the supply of firearms to you and I, the citizenry. They're also, I think, doing this to create a precedent to reclassify and eventually ban all semi-automatic weapons, AR-15s in particular. Why? Because their complaint is, well, you can modify these Glocks so easily into a fully automatic weapon. Well, I got news for you. You could do that to an AR-15 and an AK-47 and an Uzi and many other things, too. You really, it's very easy. And yes, believe it or not, I know how to do it. No, I haven't done it. No, I'm not going to do it. But they could point to that and say, well, these guns are the same as Glock. They can be easily modified, so they have to be banned also. And then the lawsuits against those manufacturers would begin in earnest again. Also, you think about it. If it's possible to transform any semi-automatic weapon into a machine gun, then they have a precedent going back to 1934, yeah, to literally go after all semi-automatic rifles too by a simple reclassification by the ATF, which wouldn't take much arm twisting on Stevie Pockface Dettelbach. He seems very eager to be the lapdog for the Biden administration. And I think they could probably get him to suddenly turn coat and reverse a position very quickly. And suddenly, oh, your AR-15 is a machine gun. You have to register it with the federal government. We'll give you a grandfathering period of time. And then if you're caught without that special $200 tax stamp, you're a felon and you go into prison. If you think they wouldn't play that card, you don't know these people very well at all. You're thinking, gee, Royce, you make it sound like a big conspiracy to disarm the American public. Probably because it is. Just like this lawsuit against Glock is a massive conspiracy. Matter of fact, Mr. Larry Keene from the NSSF, the National Shooting Sports Foundation. By the way, have you noticed, this quick sidebar, I don't know if you noticed, recently all these Democrats who are cheering and whooping it up over NRA, Wayne LaPierre being sued, and they think the NRA is now dead. It's taken a big hit for sure. But why did you ever suppose that they are the leading protector of your firearms rights? They're not. GOA, the National Shooting Sports Foundation also, Second Amendment Foundation, the Firearms Policy Coalition, and others have been very instrumental in having laws, gun control laws, struck down and defending against gun control bills before they even get made into laws. So don't give NRA too much credence and credit. There's a lot more credit to go around. And, as a matter of fact, the liberals are now saying that the NSSF is now the face of the gun lobby. Well, it may be. And that wouldn't bother me much at all. Here's the article by Cam Edwards from BearingArms.com. It says, NSSF calls on Congress to investigate the conspiracy behind Chicago's lawsuit against Glock. Maybe Royce isn't such a conspiracy theorist after all. Here's the article. National Shooting Sports Foundation Senior Vice President and General Counsel Larry Keene pulled no punches when I asked him, Mr. Edwards was writing this, about his thoughts on the city of Chicago's new lawsuit against Glock. And that's, by the way, that's also supported by all the gun control cartels and the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, and not just supported by it, but I guarantee you there's money coming from those other groups too, that alleges the gun maker is, quote-unquote, facilitating the illegal conversion of its pistols into machine guns through the use of switches. Glock is facilitating this? Good luck proving that to a reasonable jury or a reasonable judge. Yeah, the key word is reasonable, and communist or not. Mr. Keene made a statement saying the head of every town has been bragging and tweeting about this lawsuit and has essentially admitted, and I know this to be the case, that the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which is staffed by Rob Wilcox, the former top federal lobbyist for Everytown, tried to pressure and muscle Glock into changing the design of their pistol. Oh, and here's a tweet that I copied and pasted from the filthy, flaming communist John Feinblatt, who he might be with Brady, I'm not sure. It says federal officials recently contacted Glock to discuss implementing new ways to modify Glock pistols to make it harder for Glock switches to be installed. Rather than help, Glock has falsely insisted there is nothing they can do. Of course, the implication is Glock doesn't care. That is not how the conversation went. Number one, Glock should not be forced to modify its design to thwart criminals. I'll say that one more time. Glock is not under any obligation, morally or legally, to modify its design in order to keep criminals from modifying their guns. Because, number one, if they modify them one way and Glock puts something in there to block that, do you think that they're so stupid they wouldn't learn how to modify them another way? And so now we're playing this constant race against the criminals? How about you start putting the freaking criminals in jail? How about that? Let's start there. Suing Glock. Glock doesn't care. No, that's not true. It's not true at all. You can't trust anything a filthy communist says. Keene, continuing with the article, says that both Chicago's complaint and Everytown's posts have ignored the fact that Glock has actively been working with the Department of Homeland Security to curb the use of switches and has even filed lawsuits, when possible, against those who are illegally manufacturing and importing the devices, which are often made in China before being illicitly shipped here. Keene made this statement. He said, NSSF is going to call for a congressional investigation into the inappropriate actions of Rob Wilcox and the people in the White House who tried to muscle Glock, and when they failed to do that, picked up the phone and called Everytown to encourage them to sue Glock because they didn't accede to the foolish wishes of Wilcox and the White House to change their design of their perfectly functioning firearm. Glock are being attacked by this lawsuit orchestrated through, and I will say this word, said Mr. Keene, a conspiracy between the White House and Everytown and the city of Chicago to attack Glock and try to blame them for this criminal conduct. It's ridiculous. And Congress needs to investigate this illegal conspiracy by Rob Wilcox, the White House, Everytown, and the city of Chicago. Hey, while we're there, let's go ahead and include Mayor Johnson and Prickster the Bolshevik and a host of other filthy communists. How about let's do that? The article continues here. So where is the ATF? I'm tripping over my tongue. I'm trying to go too fast. So where is the ATF in all of this? According to Keene, he's heard that the agency tried to have a similar meeting with Glock, and he says it's possible that ATF Director Steve Dettelbach could try to reclassify Glocks or a large body of semi-automatic firearms as machine guns going forward, which we addressed in the last article. Keene opined, he says, I don't know that the White House would have to twist many arms, maybe a pinky. We've seen this argument advanced by Brady and others, that, for example, modern sporting rifles have actually been machine guns all along because someone could illegally convert it to a fully automatic firearm. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're dealing with here. Yes, I do believe that this is a conspiracy, and I do believe that Mr. Keene is not wrong. I believe that's exactly what this is. Multiple state governments working hand in hand with Chinese communists and the federal government to treasonously assault the Constitution and the rights of the people protected therein. That's exactly what I'm seeing in all of this. And so with that in mind, I have a prescription that I think could probably do away with all of this malfeasance and skullduggery and criminality that we're seeing in all of these communist government officials. I think someone needs to propose the Elected Official Accountability Act. That's what I think. I think there need to be penalties that are discretionless. In other words, a judge has to give them the full sentence. He cannot make any stipulation. If they're found guilty, they must serve out the entirety of the sentence. And it needs to be prescribed against any elected official who even so much as proposes any law that runs counter to the Constitution. I think for your first offense, you should get 10 years at hard labor and forfeiture of all assets that you gained while in office. The second offense, death by hanging. Oh, Royce, come on, man. How about just life imprisonment? I don't think that'll have the same impact as death by hanging, which is the traitor's prescribed death. Royce, that's draconian, man. I don't care. Here's why I don't care. Our Constitution and our rights supersede all else in this country. You just take a look and see the damage done in this country over the last 50 years by a flurry of unconstitutional laws being proposed and passed. Do you see the necessity of such strong protections of our supreme law now. Look at all of the laws. There are laws in place in our country right now that gives the government the quote-unquote right to come and take your children if they say, well, I know I was born a boy, but I feel like I'm a girl, and my daddy won't let me become a girl. Oh, well, we're going to take your kids from you. They have laws saying they can do that. By the way, if you'll notice, California and Oregon did not pass those laws until they first passed assault weapons ban laws. Gee, why would they do that? Yes, it may seem draconian. But I tell you what, I think the 10 years at hard labor would probably cure most of them, and they wouldn't have to go to the gallows in the first place. But they got to serve all 10. Well, come on, Roy, some of these people, they're not fit to work at hard labor. Well, that's their daggum problem. They'll get in shape pretty quickly. I got a feeling old Jerry Nadler, what a repulsive human being, he won't make it, and so many others up there won't make it because they're woefully out of shape. But I think that needs to be a good place to start right there. 10 years hard labor. Make them go out there and actually earn what they eat instead of have it handed to them in a paper bag as a bribe and all other kinds of emoluments they've received. Because, listen, people, it is a flurry of unconstitutional laws that has put us where we are right now. And the only way to take it back is to start levying punishment against everybody who has been assaulting our Constitution and forcing us to languish under the lash of those illegal, unconstitutional laws. I've had enough of that crap. So you keep in contact with your reps. You stay armed. You stay trained. And don't forget, we got a couple of great guests coming up soon, Dale Comstock and Cujo Kuzer, and it's going to be a wild time, so make sure you keep tuning in to the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Catch you on the next episode. Never forget, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out.